Well, we're currently in the sermon series titled Jesus Over Our Learning, and learning from those in Scripture who did it right, that we can model our life after, and those who did it wrong, and where we can avoid their mistakes, right, and learn from them. We talked about Ehud the stud. God can use our limitations if we let Him. God can repurpose us for His kingdom. He's wanting our availability. God's word, it pierces the root of our sin. We are called to wield the sword of God's word and put sin to death in us. And God moves us to faith-led action. If you don't know the story of Ehud, Judges chapter 3. You see, our prayers, our wisdom, our testimony of what God is doing in our lives are meant to rally our kids. It's meant to rally our grandkids and our church family to stand firm in the faith. Being a follower of Jesus is a personal decision, but you are automatically a part of a family where we grow together. Last Sunday, we talked about Elijah, someone like me. And what we really are, it comes out especially when we're under pressure. The real us just kind of emerges, right? Adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. And even though Elijah was greatly, greatly used in the power of God, he was as human as we are, with a nature like we have, with spiritual and physical and mental limitations. He was a man of God, someone like us. He was discouraged, he was lonely, he was depressed, and he wanted to die. And in spite of human weaknesses and failures, God still uses us to do His work. Elijah was a man of God because of his relationship with God. He was committed to the Lord, and he wouldn't abandon his convictions in worshiping false gods or compromising his lifestyle. Are we men and women of God? Elijah was a man of prayer, someone like us. Every miracle associated with Elijah, and there are many, was because of his prayer life. And as a servant of God, Elijah's motives in prayer were to show the nation of Israel that God is the one true God. Are we men and women of prayer? And then finally, Elijah was a man of God's word, someone like us. More than anything else about Elijah, he was obedient to God's word. And each time God told Elijah to do something, he simply obeyed. Are we men and women of God's word? So let's play a game this morning. I'll start with a name or an object, and you finish it. You ready? Are you ready? All right, here we go. Pop culture. Bert and?
Bernie.
Batman and?
Batman.
Ooh, some of you are quick. Tom and?
Jerry.
Woo. Sherlock Holmes and? Dr. Watson. That's right. All right, all right. How about this one? Han Solo and? Chewbacca. Han Solo and Chewbacca, Star Wars. Fail. You guys failed. Wow. All right. SpongeBob, SquarePants, and Patrick Starr. Who said that? Awesome. She knows it. All right. This one's kind of in the theaters now. Woody and Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear. Okay. You're dropping like flies. All right. Here we go. Wow, I need to get some older. Okay, how about this one? How about some food? Peanut butter and? Salt and? Fish and? Woo! Bacon and? Bread and? Apples and? Oranges. How about some celebrities? Okay, I went some old school. Here we go. Sonny and? Bonnie and? Man, you guys are doing a unison here. Can you guys try to harmonize a little bit? Okay. Abbott and?
No.
Jekyll and?
Hi.
Lewis and?
Clark.
Paul, this is for you. Lucy and?
Brittany.
Desi. Yes, Desi. That's right. Okay. How about in general? Bed in. Cold in. Ebony and
ivory.
All right. Dogs in. Am I losing some of you? You guys with me? All right. Some of you are like, I can't think that fast. How about divide in? Open in. Shut. Open and shut. Okay, that's kind of, okay. How about this one? Stars and
stripes.
Okay. How about from the Bible? Adam and Canaan. Let's see if you get this one. David and
Goliath.
That's right. Okay. Oh, good. I don't know if you would say Jonathan or what. Moses and
Aaron.
Aaron. That's right. Okay, his brother. This might be a tough one. This might be a stretch. Okay. You're gonna finish this one for me. Mary and okay, I'm just kidding. That was easy, all right. Paul and Silas. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Okay, how about one last one? Pastor Spence and
Julie.
I was going to say awesome, but you guys said Julie, so. Julie is the right answer. All right. Here, true friends prove their loyalty by showing up when times get tough. True friends prove their loyalty by showing up when times get tough. There was an English publication that offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And there were thousands of entries that came in, and one like this one, one who multiplies joys and divides grief. That's a great definition. Or one who understands our silence. That's a pretty good definition for friend. But the entry that won the contest was from Walter Winchell, who said this: a real friend is someone who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. A real friend is someone who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. I like that definition of what a true friend is. God designed and he's wired humanity to want and to need friends, to connect with other human beings on such deep levels. So my message title in concluding this series, Jesus Over Our Learning, is Elisha, a True Friend. Elisha, a True Friend. Now, I'm going to be using some thoughts from Gene Getz's book called When the Pressure's On. Great book. Last week, we heard the story of Elijah's life, that in spite of his depression, in spite of his loneliness, God met a need in him. And that need was a friend by the name of Elisha. Elijah and Elisha are another famous duo from the Bible. And if Elijah could describe his friendship to you today with Elisha, I believe he would say, when my whole world turned black as night, God brought Elisha into my life to be my friend. I believe he would say that. God had already mentioned Elisha by name by being one of the men he had chosen. God had chosen to speak out against Israel's sin. But God's purpose in choosing this man was more than prophetic in nature. You see, Elisha lived in the Jordan Valley in a place called Abel Meholah. And Elisha's father was a very successful and rich farmer, as Elisha was plowing with the 12th team of oxen. If you had one team, you did pretty well. But if you had 12, you were pretty successful. So three things happened when Elijah showed up at Elisha's farm. One, when Elijah saw Elisha plowing in the field, Elijah knew that he had found his assistant, his helper, his successor. Number two, Elisha immediately recognized the prophet Elijah. And number three, because most people in Israel had heard about Elijah, the prophet, who confronted King Ahab, you remember the story, and the 450 prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. Elijah was a legend, okay? And number three, when Elijah threw his cloak across Elijah's broad shoulders, Elisha knew through this symbolic act that God had called him to be a special helper, a special assistant to this great man of God. What I like about Elisha is that he didn't hesitate to leave his family and his responsibilities and go and help Elijah. And to make sure of that, everyone at the farm knew that Elisha was called to serve both God and Elijah. Elisha, what did he do? He slaughtered his oxen that he was working with. He had a barbecue feast with his friends and neighbors and co-workers. See, this was an act of commitment, literally burning the bridges behind him. There was no turning back for Elisha. Elisha was a true friend. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever been in a place in your life and a friend showed up just in time? You ever been there? A person's dog was hit by a car and spending hours holding the pet in the driveway surrounded by blood. While at the vet, a best friend arrived at the house and they scrubbed the driveway so that they wouldn't be re-traumatized by returning home. That's a friend. A woman spent a terrifying night in a hospital waiting room not knowing if her family member would survive. And a close friend arrived at 3 a.m. and stayed by her side. A friend who shows up when the whole world walks out. We don't know how long this duo traveled and ministered together, but it's clear that Elijah's depression diminished when Elisha became his assistant. Elijah was his old self, confronting the sins of idolatry at high levels in Israel. He was demonstrating God's power through miracles. Elijah was serving as God's instrument to bring judgment on Israel's leaders because they wouldn't turn back to God. And in this series on learning from characters in the Bible, as we have just about every June for the last 3 years, we can learn from Elisha's life as an example. We can learn something. Elisha, a true friend. A true friend. Last Sunday, on Father's Day, I had opened one of the Pepsi bottles that we gave out to the men last week with a can opener. As the family and I were about to enjoy lunch together at our house, my daughter said, "Dad, there's a piece of glass on your Pepsi bottle." Sure enough, a piece of glass, when I opened it, had shard off and it was laying across the top, the opening. I could have taken a big swig of Pepsi and swallowed a glass shard. A true friend and daughter, she loves me. In this very short snapshot of Elisha's life, there's lessons to be learned from his life. And the first thing that we can see about Elisha's life is that true friends are helpful. True friends are helpful. Elisha served alongside Elijah as his faithful helper. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21 says this: Elijah left, and he found Elisha plowing with a team of oxen. There were 11 teams ahead of him, and he was plowing with the last one. Elijah took off his cloak, and he put it on Elisha. Elisha then left his oxen, ran after Elijah, and he said, "Hey, let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah answered, "All right, go back. I'm not stopping you." Then Elisha went to his team of oxen, killed them, and cooked the meat, using the yoke as fuel for the fire. He gave the meat to the people, and they ate it. Then he went and followed Elijah as his helper. Then he went and followed Elijah as his helper. Elisha left the barbecue and he went and became his servant. He ministered to Elijah. He became his assistant, his right-hand man. He was Elijah's helper. And I'm sure at some point in your life, you were in a situation when a true close friend was able to help you out. Just knowing that they were helping, it relieves some of the anxiety and the stress. You see them walking through the door and they're there just to help you. Just, you know what I mean. And that's what Elisha did for Elijah. That's what he did. He was helpful and faithful to help carry Elijah's burdens. Well, this morning, let's turn that coin over. Are you a true friend who helps others? Not just when it's convenient or where it makes you look good, but you're the type of friend when the world walks out, you walk in. You walk into their life. Stop and think about it for a moment. In this week's past conversations, maybe on the phone or in text, is there a friend who is in need right now? Would you be a true friend like Elisha and step in to help them? Do what you can do. What burden are they carrying right now that you can help shoulder? See, Elisha was a true friend by being helpful to Elijah. The second thing we can see about Elisha's life is that true friends are loyal. True friends are loyal. The time came when Elijah's work for the Lord was ending. And the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind of a chariot and horses and fire. But listen to this exchange between two friends. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Listen to this exchange. Not long before the Lord took Elijah up into heaven in a strong wind, Elijah and Elisha were leaving Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, "The Lord wants me to go to Bethel, but you must stay here." Elisha replied, "I swear by the living Lord and by your own life that I will stay with you and no matter what." And he went with Elijah to Bethel. Verse 3, a group of prophets who lived there asked Elisha, "Hey, do you know that today the Lord is going to take away your master?" You can just hear Elijah, "Yes, I do." "Yeah," he answered, "but don't remind me of it. You know, I don't want to think about it." Elijah then said, "Elisha, now the Lord wants me to go to Jericho, but you must stay here." And Elisha replied, I swear by the living Lord and by your own life that I will stay with you no matter what." And he went with Elijah to Jericho. A group of prophets who lived there asked Elisha, "Do you know that today the Lord is going to take away your master?" "Yes, I do," Elijah answered, "but don't remind me of it. Just go away." Verse 6, Elijah then said to Elisha, "Now the Lord wants me to go to the Jordan River, but you must stay here." And Elisha replied, "I swear by the living Lord and by your own life that I will never leave you!" Exclamation point. So the two of them walked on together. As they were traveling together to Gilgal, their conversation went like this. Elijah commands Elisha, "Stay here, I'm going to Bethel." Elijah's response, "I will never leave you, I'm staying." Elijah commands Elisha, "Stay here, I'm going to Jericho." Elisha responds, "I will never leave you." Again, Elijah commands Elisha, "Stay here, I'm going to the Jordan River." And Elisha's response, "Once again, I will never leave you." See, this level of commitment speaks volumes about their relationship. This level of commitment, it speaks volumes about their relationship. Why did Elijah want Elisha to stay behind? Well, maybe Elijah knew that he was about to go to heaven. Or maybe he didn't want to worry his friend. We really don't know. But there was a fierce loyalty on Elisha's part not to leave Elijah's side. He must have known. I don't know. He must have known that Elijah was about to leave him, and he was incredibly determined to stay by his side until the very end. Elisha wasn't just Elijah's faithful helper. He had become his loyal friend. The wisest man to ever live wrote about this in Proverbs 17:17, "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need." A friend shows his friendship at all times. In other words, a friend is there to help in any situation. A friend loves at all times. A true friend is always loyal. You see, a genuine friend doesn't leave when your circumstances change or when you hit a rough patch. Their love is constant. It's not based on convenience. They walk into your life when everyone else is walking out. They walk in. That's the sign of a true friend. That's a sign of a loyal friend. Again, this morning, let's all of us turn that coin over. Are you a true friend who is loyal? That no matter what a friend is going through, you stick by them. What does it look like to be a loyal friend like Elisha? Well, being a loyal friend it's not standing idly, you know, by turning a blind eye as your friend lives recklessly in sin or chooses to be out of God's will. No, that's not what we're saying. That's not the kind of loyalty that God is asking. Elisha was a true friend by being loyal to Elijah when circumstances dictated hard, difficult times. Elisha walked in and helped Elijah. The third and final thing that we see about Elisha's life is that true friends walk on together. I love that little phrase, walk on together. Three times Elijah told Elisha, stay here, stay back, don't go. While he goes to Bethel, while he goes to Jericho, and while he goes to the Jordan River. And each time Elisha responds, hey, I'm sticking with you. I'm never going to leave you. But I love what Elisha did with his friend in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, 4, 6, and 7. He went with Elijah to Bethel, and he went with Elijah to Jericho. And so the two of them walked on together. After Elisha's response to, I will not leave you, it says that the two of them walked on together. They walked on together. Side by side. Elijah, for whatever reason, asked Elisha to stay, but he refused. He was there to help Elijah, and he was there to be loyal to Elijah. And as a result, they were going to walk on together. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. There are friends who pretend to be friends, but there is a friend who sticks closer than her brother. The Message paraphrase says this, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Rosalie Carter wrote about that kind of friendship in a poem. I think that God will never send a gift so precious as a friend. A friend who always understands and fills each need as it demands. Whose loyalty will stand the test when skies are bright or overcast. Who sees the faults that merit blame but keeps on loving just the same. Who does far more than creeds could do to make us good, to make us true. Earth's gifts a sweet contentment lend, but only God can give a friend. That's what friends do. They are helpful. They are loyal. They walk on together with you no matter what the difficulties and the problems in life bring. Do you have a friend like that? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a best friend. Are you that kind of friend to someone else? That no matter what giant of a problem your friend is facing or what huge mountain you're facing, the two of you walk on together. Walk on together, side by side. And that's what Elijah and Elisha did. So Jesus over our learning. So as we conclude this series today, there are a few life lessons we can learn from the many different characters in God's Word. I'm so glad, again, that God kept the good, the bad, and the ugly in His Word, because all of us can 100% identify with them at one point or another. Sometimes we were the loyal friend. Sometimes a loyal friend showed up for us. Elisha, a true friend. Elisha was a true, helpful, and loyal friend to Elijah. And side by side, they walked on together, lightening each other's burdens. That's what friends do. Two friends, Tom, Tom and Paul decided to hike notoriously a rugged trail. Tom and Paul, two friends. They knew the woods were famous for the occasional bear, so they made a pact to always stick together if things got hairy. About 3 miles in, the sky darkened, and out of the bush stepped a massive, snarling grizzly bear. And before Tom could even blink, Paul, he dropped his heavy backpack, he untied his hiking boots, and he laced up a pair of lightweight running shoes. Tom stared at him in disbelief and whispered, "Paul, what are you doing? You can't outrun a grizzly bear." Paul looked back with a grin, sprinting ahead as fast as he could. "I don't need to outrun a bear, Tom. I just need to outrun you." That was a fictitious story. That was not Paul and Tom. True friends are helpful. Is there a friend who is in need right now? How can you simply be present for them? True friends are loyal. Does your loyalty reflect Christ's unconditional grace, or is it conditional? These are great questions that we have to think about in our own life. Can you be counted on when a friend's life gets messy? And true friends, they walk on together. What does it look like to love your friend at all times, especially when it becomes costly or when it becomes inconvenient for you? You know, I always like to ask the questions, but then zoom out a little bit higher. What would our marriages and what would our families and what would our church family become or look like if we were helpful, loyal, and we walked through the thick and thin together? The challenge for all of us today is to be that type of friend to others that Elisha was to Elijah. A real friend is someone who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Sometimes you're on the receiving end of that. Others walk into your life and they lift the burden. They help you, whatever it is. And then there's times that you got the text or the phone call and you showed up for them. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to do for one another. A real friend is someone who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Let's pray.